Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name's Nadia, and I'm so glad you joined me today for episode 6, part 2 of Abigail. Now, some women have asked me and said, oh, did I miss something? Because they didn't see part 2 in a little while, and I apologize for that. I know sometimes I try to aim at putting up a video every single week, and my desire was to put up even more, but sometimes life just happens. I do have 5 little grandbabies, all ages 3 and under, so I do a lot of babysitting, and sometimes it just gets a little difficult, so bear with me. Maybe just from time to time, check the YouTube channel, or if you subscribed, you should be getting a little notification of when the video comes up. So thank you for your patience. We continue with the story of Abigail from 1 Samuel chapter 25. So if you didn't see part 1, definitely go back to it. I brought a lot of great information just on what transpired. Now, as a little recap, 1 Samuel 25, there was David. He was running away from Saul. He banded up 600 men, and they were all vagabonds moving around, but also protecting shepherds as they were going from place to place, because the area at that time was crime infested. And so David was looking after Nabal. Nabal was a very wealthy man. David was looking after Nabal's shepherds, and he expected some kind of payment at the end after protecting them. And when he sent word, Nabal said, who's David? Who is David? I don't know who David is. And certainly he didn't want to look after him. When David found out, he was enraged. And he took 400 men. He said, gird up your swords and away we go, because we are going to slaughter Nabal and his household. Now, Abigail, Nabal's wife, got word of it. She heard. And right away, the Bible says she made haste. She quickly took care of the situation, in that she loaded donkey loads of food and met David along the way on the road, and just fell down before him, bowed down before him, and said, let this iniquity be upon me. Can you imagine that? We talked about that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. She was wanting to take the blame. She gave a very eloquent speech to David, trying to persuade him not to do what he was going to do. Amazing woman of God. And we will continue with the story. She gave this speech, and what took place? Well, before we get there, we're going to talk about some of the characteristics that we went over. Last time we talked about, number one, some of Abigail's characteristics. She was approachable. Secondly, she acted quickly and she protected her husband. Thirdly, she acted with tact and humility. Fourthly, she took the blame. She took the blame. Oh, when she was innocent, had nothing to do with it, like Jesus took our blame. Unbelievable how Christ-like Abigail was. Fifthly, she remained faithful in a very bad situation when she could have run away from it. Oh, so many life lessons right there. So let's continue. Let's look and see what David's response is after Abigail gave that incredible speech to persuade David not to take that course of action. So verse 32, 1 Samuel 25. Let's read from there. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you. Now remember, he could have killed her. He could have killed her because she was taking the blame. And we're going to talk about that. Anyway, has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me. Surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." Unbelievable. Oh my goodness, here was David pronouncing blessing upon Abigail, and how grateful he was for the advice that he gave her. You see, David got it. David listened. David heeded to her voice. When you look at Nabal, who was her husband, he never appreciated the kind of gem of gems of a wife that he had. He never appreciated her. I am sure over the course of time, he gave her, or rather she gave him advice on areas, or maybe just saw through her sweet and gentle spirit, just how she was behaving, how she was acting, how she had the favor of all the servants, and he received nothing. Two different men. Unbelievable. And here was David. He was full of fury, full of fever as he was coming up that road, so angry that this woman, Abigail, very sweet woman, intercepted it all. And David didn't even interrupt her. Imagine that. Now, you got to understand, you know, when people are really, really angry, I'm sure you've seen it and know it and had experience of it one way or another. When people are angry and see red, they don't listen to any reason. They have a mission. They are going to carry it out. Whatever it is, whether it be their words, whether it be their actions, when they are angry, it is hard to stop a raging bull. It really is. David was a raging bull, and there was Abigail. She came, and he stopped, and he listened to her. And, you know, he wasn't in that kind of mood. Usually, especially back then, you know how it is. You know, women didn't really mean very much, so it's like, get away, woman. I have some place to go. I have something to do. But he stopped. He listened. He heard. He received it. How important it is to have a receiving spirit, especially when we're about to do something we shouldn't be doing. So unbelievable how we see how this brave woman, and she was brave, brave to change everything around. Now, you might look at this story and afterwards say, wow, mission accomplished. Isn't that great? David and his men, now that this all took place, they were fed, they were wiser, they left the scene without vengeance. And of course, Abigail went home, and her wonderful husband Nabal just put his arm around her and said, "Honey, you saved the day. Thank you so much." That's not what happened. That's not what happened. Let's look and see what the Bible says. Verse 36. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. We'll stop right there. Now think about that. You know what? No regard for anybody. He was certainly a very self-indulgent person, having a feast like a king, doing his own thing. And here was Abigail. She finds him drunk. Oh, what a wise woman. Let me tell you something. The importance of wisdom, of to know when to speak and when not to speak. You know, here this could have been an opportunity for her to say, "Nabal, Nabal, you wouldn't believe what happened. Everybody was going to be killed, but David changed his mind." And this was something to rejoice about. You know, when you have good news, don't you kind of burst at the seams and want to tell people all about it? Oh, but she was so wise. She knew how timing was important. Ladies, we have to know that timing is important of when we speak and when we shouldn't speak. Our problem is, most of the time, we speak too much. We talk too much. We talk at the wrong time. And we should know when to speak. And she, with all wisdom, and that's why Abigail, one of the wisest women in the Bible, in every sense of the word, There she was. She just knew, not time to speak right now. Let's just let this subside. What a wise woman of God. She didn't even tell him about it. You can only imagine. Again, gem of gems, angel of angels almost, this beautiful woman of God, beautiful on the outside, beautiful on the inside. How she must have felt night after night, going to bed, sleeping, trying to sleep, thinking about the fool that she's married to that doesn't even recognize her value. Ladies, some of you might feel that way, that maybe your husbands don't really recognize your value and what you do for him and what you have done and what you will continue to do. But we have a God who sees. He sees and he takes care of everything. And there she was. She could have cried herself to sleep, feeling sorry for herself. But oh, our God is the God who sees. Look and see what takes place next. So it was, verse 37, in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became like a stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Wow. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I tell you something. What an incredible story. Here she finally tells him what happened. He was so shocked that the Bible says his heart died within him, which means he had a heart attack. It was like stone, and he was probably comatose for the next 10 days, and then he died. You see, God took care of this situation and saved David from any kind of bloodshed, from any kind of smear. Listen, God is the one who will fight your battles. Just wait upon him. Wait upon him. David did wait upon him. Abigail waited upon the Lord. And look what it says. Look what it says. What did David do when he heard about Nabal's death? Well, in verse 39, so when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. You know, it reminds me of the story, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit later on, but the story of Esther. Remember the story of Esther? Haman was after Mordecai and wanted to kill him and built gallows. Well, the wickedness returned on Haman's own head. He was hung on the gallows that he built by himself. And so God has a way of taking care of every single situation, of that situation, of your situation, of my situation, no matter how crazy, no matter how impossible it may seem, God is the one who fights our battles. And look at what happened next. This is the beauty of the story. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. And when the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Does that remind you of somebody in the New Testament? Jesus, he washed the feet of his servants. Look at the kind of woman that this was. She was a Christ-like woman. Oh, she did anything for David, was willing to serve. And this is what Jesus calls us to do, is to serve in all circumstances. So look, let's look at what the Bible says as we continue here. So Abigail arose in haste. There we see that word again, in haste. You know what? She wasn't a slacker. She didn't just, take her time. You know what? She realized that every moment is precious. Every moment is precious. Don't let moments go by when you can do what you need to do. And so she rose in haste. She didn't take her time in this, and rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens. And she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. Isn't that amazing, ladies? Look how this story ended on such a positive note. And do you remember what she said in verse 31? Let's turn to this. Verse 31, she said to David in that eloquent speech that she gave, "But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." So after giving this wonderful speech to David and trying to redirect what he was going to do, she says, "Please remember your maidservant." I mean, she knew he was going to be ruler of Israel. She knew that he was going to be king one day, but all she wanted was, maybe, you know what? Maybe just watch over me. Maybe just protect me. You know, my husband is a fool. And so somehow just remember me, just watch over me. Never did she probably dream that she would be his wife. Can you imagine that? And now here she was, a rich young widow. Listen, God blessed her with beauty. God blessed her with wealth. But did she care about her beauty and wealth? Oh no. What made Abigail a great woman of God was who she was inside. It was her wisdom. It was her humility. It was the fact that she was willing to lay down her life for an evil man, and willing to protect him, willing to do whatever it took. She not only intercepted David, but then at the same time, not only said, "Hey, blame me, this is my fault, the iniquity be upon me," but she also took action in that. She says, "Okay, blame me, but I'm willing to fix this. I'm willing to do whatever it takes." And so she brought all that food on the donkey loads of food for David and all his men. And she was willing to do whatever it took. This is the kind of woman that God looks at. This is the kind of woman that you and I need to be. We need to emanate a person like Abigail. And so she became a queen. What a beautiful ending to this story. She became a queen. So what are some of the life applications that we can learn from this story? Well, first and foremost, excuse me. Sorry, I've been battling a cold the last couple of days. But first and foremost, we have to understand that anger has to be properly managed. Properly managed. Why do we get angry? That's the main thing. Why do we get angry about things? And how do we react? It's usually about our reactions. So sometimes we get frustrated with circumstances. We get frustrated with people. We get frustrated because maybe we've been treated unjustly. We get frustrated just with small things. Do you know people that, oh, something falls over or just spills and they get so angry, their buttons are pressed? Or you see somebody extremely impatient in line. They can't handle anything. They can't handle a person cutting in front of them in traffic. They can't handle a person just talking to them. Like Nabal. Nabal, the servant said, "Hey, nobody can talk to him. Nobody can talk to him, because you know to stay away from people like that, because they get angry just like that. Angry. Everything pushes their buttons." Well, you know what you have to do to properly handle anger? Oh my goodness, that was a tongue twister right there. But something to just diffuse anger. Just make sure, instead of people pushing your buttons, don't give them any buttons to push. That's the main thing. Don't give them any buttons to push. So they might be trying to push your buttons and trying all day long to press here and press there and trying to get you angry, but you just let go. You let go. You need to let go. We have to understand that when it comes to anger, we have to know how to manage our anger. You know, when you look at Abigail, she could have been angry. She could have been bitter. She could have said, what did I ever do to deserve this? A little bit like Hagar. Remember, we talked about Hagar last time. She was in a situation, everything seemed to be so unfair. Abigail could have said the same thing. She could have said, you know what, this is so unfair. I just tried to deal with everything in the right way, in the proper way, and look who I married. Some of you might feel that way. Some of you may have married someone that could be foolish and give you a lot of heartache. But what's important is, how do we handle our anger? We see how Nabal handled his emotions, and he just couldn't care less. Nobody could talk to him. So we know that he was a short-fused person. We see that David, you know, when it came to Saul, he knew not to touch him. Here was Saul running after him, trying to kill him. He knew not to touch the Lord's anointed. But all of a sudden, this no-name, this random person named Nabal was there and just gave him not a very nice remark. David could have just lost it all in a moment. He was furious. And so we have to understand, when it comes to anger, yes, anger is a God-given emotion. Anger is not a wrong thing. The Lord has anger. How many times did he want to obliterate the Israelites because of their lack of obedience, because they turned after other gods, because they played the harlot? Constantly, God was angry. God is, as much as he is a God of love, he's also a God of justice. And so we see here that anger has to be managed appropriately. And here are some scriptures. Let's look at Proverbs 29:11. What does the Bible say? A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So a fool explodes all the time. A wise man, control, with the help of God, control. James 1, verses 19 to 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Oh, how we need to listen more. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. We need to proceed slowly when angry. Think about that, ladies. It does not produce the righteous life that God desires. Next time you get angry, remember why you're getting angry. Should this be something that should be pressing your buttons? We have to be so careful. Look at this important verse that we all know, Ephesians 4, verses 26 to 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. I remember that before I got married, almost 37 years ago, I asked my parents, what advice do you give for us as we are about to get married? And my mom, she would say, Nadia, you have to just make sure, don't go to bed angry. Right here from this verse. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? Because you know what? You need to make up. You need to, in marriage, you need to clear it out. Because the next day, you're going to be even angrier. And you know how it is. It's a snowball effect. You know, anger turns into resentment, turns into bitterness, turns into hate. And people who hate turn into something worse, murderers. Murderers by word, Bible speaks of that, but even physical murderers. So we have to be so careful, because it is a cancer that eats us up. And the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be very careful, ladies. Let go of your anger. If you're bitter against somebody, let go of it. It will prohibit you from receiving the blessing of God, and you don't want that. Ephesians 4, 31, 32 says, get rid of all bitterness. So you see, this is a command. Get rid. You know, don't ask God to zap you. Oh, just take it away. Get rid of it. Make a decision. Say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not giving people those buttons to press, those anger buttons. I'm just getting rid of it. I'm not having anything to do with it. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind. This is what the Bible says. Be kind and compassionate to one another. This is what we ought to be. Kind, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness. And so that's what we see. That's what we see. Manage our anger. Secondly, what we learn is we need to be approachable. We need to be a teachable. We need to be able to take instruction. You know, everybody can love everybody else when everything goes well. Isn't that true? It's easy to love somebody when everybody's having a great time and you're having a hee hee ha ha party with people. But true character is shown when there is conflict. True character is shown when there's confrontation. And the thing is, when somebody confronts you, how will you receive it? Will you listen? Will you open your heart? Will you be flexible? Will you be teachable? Will you take instruction? You see, the Word of God is full of instruction, teaching us and showing us what we're not and how we ought to be. And so, even more so, when somebody comes to speak to us and tell us, hey, you know, listen to this instruction. It's very important. We need to be approachable. We need to be the kind of person that somebody can come and speak to for wisdom, for advice, and even at the same time, being able to heed instruction. Now, everybody was able to go up to Abigail. She ran that household in that sense because they knew they could talk to her and not Nabal because he was a fool because everything pressed his buttons. And so important. We have to, in our own lives, make sure that we, if somebody comes up to us and points a blind spot in our lives, we have to make sure that we are able to listen. Do you know, ladies, that some of the best counsel can come from our own husbands, from our spouse? Same thing with our husbands. The best counsel is not their friends. It's usually you. Why? Because you know them best. You live with them for many, many years. You know them inside out, as our husbands know us inside out. So when they give us advice, we should be able to listen. Nabal should have listened to Abigail. She was a wise, wise woman, but he took no heed. He was a foolish man. And there was King David. He listened to her. He got it right off the bat. He was grateful for the advice that she gave him. We have to be so careful that we listen. What is Proverbs 12:1 says? Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. I almost, you know, when you think of that word, this is what New King James says, and that's the version that I usually use. But many different versions actually use that word stupid. So when I went to the King James, that version says brutish, like a brute. And a brute is someone who's extremely violent or a wild person or animal. Wow, that's what it says. A person who hates correction is someone who's extremely violent or like a wild animal. That's pretty descriptive. And so how ought we to be with correction? We have to be so careful with that. Listen to advice. What does the Bible say after that? Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. So very true. And here's one proverb that I love, Proverbs 29, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, ladies, that is so true. If a friend really loves you, they will rebuke you. They will tell you in love and say, look, I really love you. And this is going to hurt you a little bit because faithful are the wounds of a friend. But I'm telling you because I love you, because I want you to be a better person before the Lord. So important. Isn't that amazing? That's a beautiful scripture. And so we should welcome confrontation because in some sense, we could look within ourselves a little bit deeper and just see what needs to be corrected. Thirdly, oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. Thirdly, this is very important. Don't let fear hold you back, but move forward in God's courage. You got to remember in verse 18, Abigail moved in haste. Here she was confronted with the actual information that the whole household was going to be destroyed. And did she say in fear, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Did she freeze and run away? No. Right off the bat, she acted in haste. She faced her danger. Ladies, it's so important that we face our dangers with the help of the Lord. And I want to show you why this verse is important. Again, Abigail went to meet David on the road, brought him food for the entire army, but fell down before him and said, let this iniquity be on me. This is my fault. She was ready to die. And he could have said, you know what? So you're that person, you're the spouse that gave him advice that we shouldn't be paid. Okay. Off with your head. You're the one that's going to die. Since you're saying that this is your fault, she put her life in David's hands. But I want to point out this verse, and this is really important because maybe you didn't even see this verse, but look at this. Here she was, verse 29. Remember when she gave that eloquent speech before David, and she said this, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And here it is, here it is. And the lives of your enemies, he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. She is talking about what happened between David and Goliath. She heard of that story. She heard how he slew Goliath with a sling. But notice what she says. She didn't give the glory to David. She says, the lives of your enemies, he shall sling out. God shall sling out as from the pocket of the sling. What is she recognizing, lady? She's recognizing that David, God fought your battle. And David, when I heard you were going to destroy my household, I found out and I knew I didn't have to waste any time, but I was going to head down that road and not walk in fear. Why? Because the Lord fights my battles. Ladies, understand this, that whatever you face in life, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of the snare of man, but God is going to fight your battles. She knew that, and she wasn't afraid. And she knew that she could die at that very moment. David could have cut off her head. She fell down before him. Let the iniquity be upon me. She knew that God was going to be her vindicator. And he was. Ladies, he is going to vindicate you in your battle. Trust him. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Remember that. And so the final lesson we learn is, listen, last but not least, God is able and he's fully capable of giving out rewards and punishments. So you know what? Listen, next time you think that I'm going to do this because I don't know what other course of action there is, God is the vindicator. God fights our battles. Listen, God did not need David to kill Nabal. He did it himself. He did it himself. And so understand that, ladies, God will fight your battles. Whatever you are going through today, he will fight your battles. And what's beautiful about it is that David did not end up doing anything wrong because of it, because he heeded the voice of Abigail. Abigail lived a righteous life and she was also blessed. They were both blessed by doing the right thing. Oh, when you do the right thing, things will never go wrong. I tell you, not before the Lord. And so, two more references of Abigail before we close. The Bible speaks of her in 1 Samuel 30. It says, while David and his men were at war, the Amalekites invaded and burned down Ziklag, the town where they were staying, and took captive Abigail and the other women and children of the camp. And fortunately, David and his men were able to rescue them. So here we hear this is, here we see this is the other time we hear about Abigail. Just her name is mentioned right there. She was taken hostage. David was very heartbroken about this, but inquired of the Lord, and they were rescued. Praise God. And then the second or final time we hear about Abigail is in 2 Samuel chapter 3, when the Bible lists the sons of David. Amnon was the first son from Ahinom, and then the second son was Chileab. Abigail gave birth to Chileab. Now, Chileab, most of us say, who's Chileab? Exactly. He wasn't even really mentioned in the Bible too much thereafter, because we know all about the things that were going on with the other sons of David. But Chileab seemed to be the one behind the scenes. And that is the last we hear of Abigail. But most importantly, ladies, we heard so much about Abigail, this flawless woman. And as we reflect, let's reflect on a couple of questions. What do we learn from this story? Well, how do we behave? How do we behave around hateful people? Look what David did. He could have done something terrible. Look how Nabal behaved all the time. How do we behave around hateful people? Secondly, if you were Abigail, would you have protected evil Nabal, her husband? Would you, if he was an evil husband of yours, would you have protected him? Would you have laid down your life for him? Look how this story enshrined her as being one of the greatest women of God. Next, do you take the blame in situations where, you know what, you're really innocent, but you're taking somebody else's blame? Oh, that is the marks of true humility, just like Christ did. Just like Christ did for us, he took our blame. That's why this woman ended up being one of the most Christ-like women in the Old Testament. And lastly, do you move with haste in situations where somebody needs your help, whether it be somebody you love or how about your enemies? Abigail didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't even know who David, she knew about David, but she didn't know how he was going to react once she met with him and told him her plight. Do you move with haste? These are things that we can reflect upon in this story. It's an incredible story. And oh, how we all need to be more like Abigail, don't we, ladies? Let's just pray. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise as we look at this story. And Lord, we just look at our own hearts, Father. Lord, your word is like a mirror, truly. And we see deep within the things that we are and the things that we are not. And Lord Jesus, when we see this incredible woman of God, Abigail, Lord, who trusted in you to fight her battles, Lord Jesus, Lord, help us. Help us to be more like her. Help us to reflect upon all the things that she did, all the characteristics of Abigail that made her the great woman of God that she was. Because, Lord, this is what we want to be. We want to be great women of God. That when the time comes when we stand before you, we want you to say, well done, good and faithful servant. As she truly was a servant, not only to her evil husband, Nabal, not only to David, but also to David's servants, as she was willing to wash their feet, just as you washed the disciples' feet. Oh, Lord, what an incredible woman of Christ-likeness. And Lord, help us to be that way. We thank you, Lord, for what we learned today. And Lord, I pray for a blessing for each and every woman that is watching today. I just pray, Father, that if they are in situations, let them realize that they have hope. Hope in you. Hope that you will vindicate. Hope that you will take care of their situations, just as you elevated Abigail. And Lord, took her out of a miserable situation like with Hagar. And Lord, established her steps, established her life. And Lord, you will do the same for us as we trust in you. And so, Father, bless every woman that is watching and bless their families, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. This has been such a wonderful story. You know, I got to tell you, this really blesses me too as I am teaching on these various characters in the Bible. I feel so refreshed. It is just so beautiful to see what God does in women's lives. And next time, oh, I am going to be talking about a couple of evil women. Yes, some of the bad girls of the Bible, but I won't tell you who. I'm going to do two that will go back to back. And let me tell you something. You might say, well, I can't really relate. Oh, yeah, there's things that you will learn in these stories that you will enjoy learning about. And so join me next time. And hopefully it'll be soon. I have a little bit of a busy week coming ahead, but I will do my best just to bring you the next episode quite soon. So just remember, make every day count before the Lord. And so whether you're watching this in the morning or whether you're watching this in the evening, make sure that you have ended this day where it's going to count in eternity. Bless someone. Bless the Lord as you are in prayer and in his word. Love you, ladies. May the Lord be with you and your families until we meet again. The Lord's richest blessings. Bye for now.